Hello and welcome to the dark and foreboding realm of cryptids, spirits, and other mysteries, known as Within the Mist Podcast. We are your guides through this shadowed world, Gary and Goldie Ann, ready to delve into the unknown depths of the paranormal. Hello, Goldie Ann.
Hi, Gary.
How are you today?
Fine.
Are you sure? Because you weren't feeling well earlier.
Oh, no, I'm still not feeling well.
I'm sorry. Too much Easter candy?
Probably.
I'm almost out. I mean, we need another holiday to come up so I get more candy.
Yeah, because you need to stay away from mine.
We're married. Yours is mine and mine is mine.
Not when it comes to Easter candy and Halloween candy.
Ooh, I didn't read the fine print. I may not have read the fine print, Goldie Ann, but I was getting ready for this show, so I practiced my jokes to a pack of demons.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they thought I was hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Well, today's episode tells of violence, destruction, and racism that a small demonic creature may have caused.
Racism?
It does tie into that.
Huh. Interesting.
Well, we are storytellers of cryptids, ghosts, and other mysteries. We don't intend to scare our listeners on purpose. Well, maybe just a little. Listener discretion is always advised. But first, a word from our sponsor. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Detroit, Michigan, the birthplace of Motown, and its legendary artists like the Supremes, Marvin Gaye, and Stevie Wonder. The city was alive with music from the clubs to the record labels. This was the home for these stars to find their voice and share it with the world. Detroit, Michigan, also the Motor City, was a bustling metropolis housing the big three auto manufacturers of General Motors, Chrysler, and Ford. Tall buildings and factories reflected the city's industrial spirit and created a unique symphony of car horns and revving engines. During a pivotal point in history, Detroit's population surged, growing from a mere 500,000 to 1.8 million in just four decades. This growth made it the fourth largest city in the United States, and a diverse community with bustling streets and glittering skyscrapers. However, this once prosperous city, Detroit has undergone a significant transformation. The auto industry, which was once a source of stable jobs, has been replaced by machinery leading to widespread unemployment. Dilapidated houses and empty lots now dominate the neighborhoods. Over 40% of the community struggles to make ends meet, and 50% of the children live below the poverty line. This stark reality is a far cry from its former grace. But what if there was a sinister force behind the city's problems? What if there was a small humanoid creature with glowing eyes, sharp, toothy grin, and red skin lurking in the dark alleyways, with mischievous laughter echoing through the streets? Feared by many and known only to a select few, this vengeful entity seeks retribution for an insult against it that happened more than 300 years ago.
Wow.
And until its thirst for revenge is satisfied, perhaps Detroit will continue to suffer under its malevolent influence. So join us today as we drive within the mists of Detroit to learn about the Nain Rouge.
Wow. Never heard of it.
It's kind of a localized legend that's just now starting to be gaining more and more prominence.
Oh.
But his story started in Chapter 1, Curse of 1701. The legend was initially chronicled in the pages of 1883's Legend of La Detroit. Please remember, at this time, the area of Michigan was part of New France. And it was on a chilly evening on March 10th, 1701, in Quebec, that a grand celebration was underway to honor Antoine de la Mothe Cadillac, who was granted a property of land and was now on his way to found Detroit. There was laughter and music that filled the air as guests mingled and sipped on rich French wine. Candlelight flickered off the faces of the men and women dressed in their finest attire. At the same time, the aroma of savory dishes wafted from the banquet tables. This was a night of revelry and merriment, with shared stories and legends amongst the guests. Little did they know that one event would eventually become immortalized, capturing people's imaginations for generations to come. As the night wore on and the moon rose high in the sky, a fortune teller appeared at the home. She was known as Mère Monique la Sorcière, a woman of unusual height with a commanding presence. Her skin was dark and swarthy, and her eyes seemed to glitter with an otherworldly knowledge. She was dressed in strange, mismatched garments that somehow seemed to suit her perfectly. Even most strangely, perched on her left shoulder sat a sleek black cat, its emerald eyes watching everything with an air of mysterious wisdom. The cat would lick Mère Monique's ear every few moments, causing some of the guests to whisper about it being the devil communicating dark secrets to her.
Rude, it's a cat.
Well, at the time, black cats had a more mystical...
Sadly, they still do, though. It leaves so many black cats in shelters.
Wow.
So sad.
This one had a home, and the atmosphere around her and her cat crackled with electricity. And even the most skeptical guest couldn't help but be intrigued by this enigmatic figure. With eager smiles, the party guest ushered her inside, and she moved around the room, reading palms and fortunes. The men gathered round, their eyes wide with wonder, as she would reveal their past, present, and sometimes their future with astonishing accuracy. When she approached the skeptical man in Cadillac, he raised an eyebrow, but allowed her to examine his palm. Her piercing gaze seemed to see right through him as she prophesied that he would one day build a great city. The air in the room crackled with anticipation as the man's disbelief turned to awe. Cadillac leaned in, eager for the fortune teller to reveal more. So she took out and poured a clear, viscous liquid from a small vial into a shallow scrying bowl. She swirled it gently with delicate fingers, her expression grimacing at what she saw. To her, clear images began to form in the bowl, revealing a foreboding future.
Dun, dun, dun.
The fortune teller spoke, her voice low and ominous.
The policy you intend to pursue in selling liquor to the savages, contrary to the advice of the Jesuits, will cause you much trouble and be the cause of your ruin.
Cadillac scoffed inwardly at the mention of the Jesuits, a powerful Catholic brotherhood that strongly opposed his sale of brandy to the native tribes. But for him, the lucrative revenue from this trade was too tempting to resist. Little did he know, its consequences would bring upon him. The sorceress's prophecy echoed through the room, and her voice carried both warning and a hope to escape his doom. As she spoke, the surrounding members seemed to sway in agreement, as if they, too, could feel the weight of her words.
In years to come, she intoned, your colony will be plagued by strife and bloodshed. The native inhabitants will turn against you, and the hated English will fight for control. But fear not, for under a new flag, your colony will reach heights of prosperity beyond your wildest dreams.
Her eyes glinted with wisdom and foresight as she gazed into the future, and those that gathered around her couldn't help but feel a mixture of trepidation and excitement as to what was to come. Cadillac's voice grew more insistent as he pressed the dark woman for more answers, desperate to know if his children would inherit his wealth from him. The teller's eyes seemed to hold secrets as she replied, her words ringing with an ominous warning.
Your future and the future of your children rests in your own hands. Beware of succumbing to ambition, for it will surely mar all of your plans. Beware of offending the Nine Luge, for should you be so unfortunate, not a single vestige of your inheritance will be passed down to your heirs.
The weight of her words hung heavy in the air as Cadillac felt a chill run down his spine. He nonchalantly listened to the fortune teller's words and decided to dismiss them as mere entertainment. The dimly lit room was filled with the smell of incense and the sound of music. And as he left the party and made his way home, his thoughts were consumed with the fortune teller's predictions. Upon arriving home, Cadillac excitedly recounted the experience to his wife, and he now was able to laugh at the absurdity of it all. 6 years had passed since the founding of Fort Pontchartrain, New Detroit, and Cadillac's lucrative business of selling alcohol to the Native Americans continued unabated. Despite the detrimental effects it had on the pioneers of his small fort, he saw no reason to stop reaping immense profits from their addiction. He counted his coins and turned a blind eye to the suffering around him. His new fort stood tall and proud and was constantly growing with new people. It was a bustling hub of trade and commerce, but behind its walls lay a dark underbelly fueled by moral corruption and greed. And when the sun set over the horizon, casting an orange glow over the land, Cadillac reveled in his success without a care for the consequences of his actions. And it so happened, on one evening, as they strolled through the bustling city streets, Cadillac and his wife caught snippets of conversations drifting on the breeze. The murmurings of two discontented men caught their attention, expressing their grievances with the deteriorating state of the new city. Things cannot run very long thus, one man declared firmly. Cadillac's ears perked up as he recognized the familiar French accent. As the pair neared, he heard the other man mention a curious name, La Petite Naine Rouge. Instantly, his wife's face paled, and she whispered urgently to him, reminding him of the fortune teller's warning those years ago about this very Naine Rouge. The hairs on the back of her neck stood on end as they continued down the street, with the ominous name ringing in her mind.
Ringing in his mind.
Well, instead of ringing in his mind, Cadillac laughed with nervous bravado, brushing off the unsettling encounter they had just had. But as they made their way back home, a grotesque figure emerged from the shadows in front of them. It was like a malformed dwarf with a twisted and deformed body that moved with an unnatural gait. Its face was contorted into a sharp toothed grin, and its skin was a sickly shade of red that seemed to glow in the dim sunlight. Its eyes were a striking contrast to its reddish complexion, bright and glistening, yet void of any warmth or humanity. It seemed to freeze everything it focused on, like a curse cast upon all who dared cross its path. Cadillac immediately went to hit the creature with his cane and told it to get away. The strikes did not seem to harm the small person, and with quick, nimble movements, the red dwarf effortlessly evaded the attack and broke into a fit of raucous laughter. The cruel sound echoed through the air, leaving a lingering sense of malice even after the dwarf had disappeared from sight. It was a chilling reminder that not all beings in this world were kind and good-natured. Cadillac had been warned never to offend the elusive Nain Rouge, but his arrogance and disregard for superstitions led him to do just that, provoking the supernatural creature with his actions. And little did he know, this would have dire consequences for both himself and those around him in Detroit. Now it seems that not long after that fateful encounter, Cadillac's fortunes took a sharp turn for the worse. Cadillac had been summoned to visit Montreal shortly after, the bustling city beckoning him with promises of even more wealth and adventure. However, his excitement quickly turned to dread as he was placed immediately under arrest for accusations of smuggling goods, selling brandy to the Native Americans, and corruption of the government. The weight of these charges pressed down on him like a heavy yoke, threatening to crush his dreams and all of his future plans. Desperate to clear his name and avoid imprisonment, Cadillac was forced to sell his ownership of the fort, surrendering it in exchange for the funds to pay for his legal fees. The once bright horizon of opportunity now seemed bleak and uncertain, tarnished by the dark clouds of betrayal and deceit. However, he was able to avoid too much of a punishment, and despite his questionable tactics and illegal practices, Cadillac somehow managed to rise to the position of governor in Louisiana. However, his success was short-lived, as it ended abruptly within 2 years when his illicit trading activities were discovered, and he was swiftly removed from office. In the end, Cadillac had the opportunity of creating the largest city in the Northwest, ruling over Louisiana, and gaining the fortunes with that. Cadillac had lost everything. His once grand fortune dwindled to nothing as he spent time in prison and fighting off debtors. He found himself on a small, desolate property with little trace of his legacy as the founder of Detroit. His 13 children, once heirs to a vast fortune, were now left with nothing but the weight of the Nain Rouge curse upon their heads. Now for the land of Detroit, it seemed to reflect this sense of loss and misfortune, with barren fields and decayed buildings standing as stark reminders of what once was.
Wow.
Detroit was now a far cry from the bustling city that Cadillac had envisioned when he first set foot in the land. And to the people, the sound of the Nain Rouge's laughter still echoed in the furthest edges of what was still growing Detroit. So did we learn a lesson today?
He didn't.
Well, yeah. Well, he paid for it.
Yeah.
Don't hit a small red dwarf with a cane.
I think it's a little bit more than that.
Okay. Well, more than that is Chapter 2, The Harbinger of Doom. For generations, the people of Detroit, the Nain Rouge would continue to haunt their city and be blamed for every tragedy that befell their beloved city. The mere mention of its name is enough to instill fear in the hearts of even the bravest citizens. Legends say that the Nain Rouge is responsible for some of the city's greatest disasters, haunting its streets and alleys with its sinister presence. It has become an infamous symbol of fear and dread for the people of Detroit. A reminder that even in the bustling city, ancient evils may still lurk beyond reach. Case in point, the Battle of Bloody Run. On July 30th, 1763, the Nain Rouge appeared in the midst of the British soldiers that were camped near Fort Detroit. The soldiers were immediately struck with fear and disbelief at the sight of the red-eyed creature, sensing that it brought ill omens. It was said that its presence signaled impending doom and destruction. Meanwhile, Chief Pontiac of the Ottawa tribe, who had been planning an attack on Fort Detroit for months, saw the sign of the Nain Rouge as a signal from the spirits that his plan would be successful.
I'm sorry, but the... what's his name? Pontiac?
Yes.
And he's the leader of the Otto tribe?
Ottawa. Not the automobile.
That's all I hear, though.
Okay. Well, it is Detroit, so I guess those things could slip. But yes, Cadillac became a car. So did Pontiac become a car. But in this case, Pontiac, with over 1,000 Ottawa warriors from different tribes by his side, began his siege on the fort. The following day, on July 31st, Captain James Dalewell and his men attempted to break the siege, but were met with fierce resistance from Pontiac's forces. Some say that the Indian chief had received supernatural knowledge of their approach through his connection with the Nain Rouge. Regardless, the battle raged on for hours until the captain and 58 of his British soldiers were slaughtered. This event came to be known as the Battle of Bloody Run due to the bloody aftermath that stained the nearby creek and turned the waters red with the blood. The defeat of Captain Dalewell was seen as a significant victory for Chief Pontiac and his allies, and it was said that after this battle, Pontiac made an offering to La Nain Rouge in gratitude for its aid in their victory. They appeased the Red Dwarf. And from then on, many Native American tribes believed that La Nain Rouge would become a powerful ally to Chief Pontiac and would continue to help guide them in their battles against the European colonizers. For the rest of the legend, as the smoke cleared and the soldiers' cries faded into silence, it is said that there was a strange sight caught the attention on both sides. A small crimson creature, no taller than a child, was spotted dancing along the edge of the blood-soaked creek that ran through the battlefield.
So, I mean, if we were in Ireland right now, I would just say it was a leprechaun.
Many European nations have their own versions of little people. The movements of this childlike red dwarf were energetic and gleeful, almost otherworldly, as it seemed to dance to its own unheard melody. And this sight of this mysterious being brought confused disbelief to those who witnessed it. The Nain Rouge would return in 1805 with the fire. In the spring of 1805, the citizens of Detroit were filled with unease as rumors began to spread about sightings of La Nain Rouge roaming through the streets and seen atop the roofs of many buildings. Some claimed to see it lurking in alleyways and peering into windows, while others reported hearing its laughter echoing at night. Despite the warnings from the Native American tribes and their own beliefs, many of the people of Fort Detroit dismissed these sightings as mere exaggerations or drunken hallucinations. However, little did they know that these sightings were a foreshadowing of a catastrophic event that would soon befall their town. On June 11, 1805, a fire broke out in one of the town's wooden homes and quickly spread due to strong, unexpected winds. And as the flames engulfed building after building, panic erupted amongst the townspeople, who scrambled to save their homes and their belongings.
Wow.
The fire was relentless, and within hours, most of Detroit was reduced to ashes. Miraculously, or because of the warning, only one person died in the great blaze, a woman who refused to leave her home despite pleas from her neighbors.
That's always the case, especially in Louisiana. They ain't moving nowhere.
Well, this is Michigan.
Oh, we're back in Michigan, yeah.
We never left Michigan. You left Michigan. But going back to Michigan, the devastation caused by the fire of 1805 left Detroit in complete ruins and the citizens devastated. The loss of homes, businesses, and livelihoods prompted some residents to blame La Naine Rouge for their misfortune. Many believed that La Naine Rouge had caused the fire as punishment for not heeding the warnings. Some even claimed that they had seen it dancing amongst the flames with delight. From then on, tales of La Naine Rouge's malevolent influence grew even more prominent within Detroit's folklore. He became a common belief that anyone who saw him before an important event or decision, disaster would surely follow. And despite efforts by city officials to rebuild and move on from the tragedy, La Naine Rouge continued to haunt Detroit with its presence. In times of hardships or crisis, sightings of the creature would still occur, a reminder that he held a dark influence over their town. By the time of the War of 1812, Detroit had become a crucial military outpost for the United States. With tensions rising between Britain and America, it was only a matter of time before conflict erupted in the town once again. In July of 1812, General William Hull, a veteran of the American Revolution, was appointed as the commander of Fort Detroit. And despite his advanced age and lack of combat experience in over two decades, he accepted the post with enthusiasm and determination to defend his country. However, as fate would have it, Hull's leadership would soon be put to the ultimate test when British forces led by Major General Isaac Brock marched towards Detroit in August. Hull and his troops were vastly outnumbered and outgunned, but he refused to surrender without a fight. As days turned into weeks without any sign of reinforcement from President James Madison, doubts began to creep into Hull's mind about their chances of a victory. And it was during this time that he claimed to have seen La Naine Rouge once again, this time grinning at him with malicious intent while he overlooked maps of his combat. According to witnesses who heard him recount the experience later on, Hull became visibly shaken and weak after seeing the creature. His fears and doubts magnified, so Hull made a series of disastrous decisions that led to his eventual surrender to the British forces on August 16th without resistance. The surrender shocked many in America and sparked outrage amongst his fellow soldiers, who viewed him as a cowardly traitor. Even worse, despite being pardoned by President Madison for his actions in court-martial proceedings, Hull would forever be remembered as the general who lost Detroit and became the only officer in American history to be sentenced to death for military incompetence.
Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of shocking. Yeah, he lost the battle when he was outgunned and outmanned and was executed for it.
Wow.
Some believed that La Naine Rouge had cursed General Hull and influenced his defeat through fear and doubt. And others saw it as a manifestation of guilt for betraying his country. Regardless of what truly happened, La Naine Rouge's presence always seemed to have a pivotal moment in American history that made the residents take note. Now,
that's crazy.
What's even crazier is the 12th Street Riot, which is considered one of the most devastating and destructive race riots in American history. It began on July 23rd of 1967 in the predominantly African-American neighborhood of Virginia Park in Detroit. It quickly spread to other parts of the city, causing chaos and destruction. The riot was sparked by tensions between the police and African-American residents, who had long faced discrimination and mistreatment from law enforcement. The final straw was when the police raided of an unlicensed bar on 12th Street that resulted in a violent confrontation between the police and the patrons. As riots raged on for 5 days, buildings were looted and set on fire, businesses were destroyed, and innocent civilians were caught in the crossfire. The National Guard was called in to try and restore order, but their presence only escalated the violence. In the midst of all this chaos, there were claims to have seen La Nan Rouge roaming through the streets of broken Detroit once again. Witnesses described seeing a small red figure with glowing red eyes moving amongst the havoc alongside the rioters. Some believed he was a sign of impending doom, while others saw it as a symbol of racial tension and injustice, that La Nan Rouge was taking the side of the rioters. Many also claimed that La Nan Rouge could be heard laughing maniacally through the city during these terrifying days, adding to the already tense atmosphere and fueling superstitions about his sinister presence. The 12th Street riot finally came to an end on July 28th, after federal troops were deployed to help quell the violence. But by then, dozens had been killed or injured, and hundreds had been arrested, with millions of dollars in damages having been done. In the aftermath of the riot, some attributed the severity of La Nan Rouge's curse on Detroit. Others saw him as a warning from beyond about the racial divides within society. In the March of 1976, Detroit was hit by a brutal snowstorm that crippled the city for days. It caused widespread power outages and made travel nearly impossible. Many residents were forced to hunker down in their homes until the storm passed, trying to keep warm. During this chaotic time, two DTE workers reported seeing what they believed to be a child climbing a utility pole. And upon closer inspection, they realized that it was not a child at all, but rather La Nan Rouge. The workers claimed that the creature had glowing red eyes and seemed to be laughing as it climbed higher and higher up the pole. And they were so shaken by the encounter that they immediately reported it to their superiors and then quickly left the area. Some believed that this sighting was yet another warning from La Nan Rouge about impending danger or disasters. Others saw it as a reminder of the creature's presence in Detroit and the curses that it may carry with it.
Well, I have no desire to go there. So
you don't want to go to Detroit and find a little red dwarf?
No.
Chapter 3. Luton's Folklore. In the enchanting world of French folklore, various mystical creatures known as Lutons reside there. And throughout Europe, legends abound of playful sprites, mischievous hobgoblins, ethereal elves, and elusive leprechauns, to name a few, just like you did, Goldie. Now, these tiny and magical beings are said to possess supernatural powers and are often delight in playing tricks on unsuspecting humans. So when the French made their way to the New World, they also brought with them the concept of Lutons. These elusive creatures were said to inhabit the French-speaking settlements of Quebec and New France. They were described as mischievous and playful spirits, and believed to either protect or torment households, depending on if you offended them or if you appeased them. The Red Dwarf seems to have a vested interest in the well-being of those described as having red skin, the red man indigenous people who were facing mistreatment at the hands of Cadillac and his followers. Was La Nan Rouge actually protecting the Native Americans more than punishing Cadillac? Throughout history, many Algonquin tribes have passed down folklore tales and beliefs of powerful beings that are very similar with Lenan Rouge. One famous figure is Nanabozo, also known as Nanabush, a clever and mischievous hero who possesses the ability to transform into any creature, but usually associated with rabbits and known as the Great Hare. In fact, a striking picture discovered within Bon Echo Provincial Park in Ontario depicts Nanabush in his red, rabbit-like form. The eerie resemblance between this ancient artwork and the description of Lenan Rouge only adds to the mystery surrounding its origins. Could Lenan Rouge, which is a French word for the Red Dwarf, actually be the protector of the Algonquin tribes? Unlike their English counterparts, who often clashed with native groups, the French forged cooperative alliances with them. And it is plausible to imagine that these interactions would have influenced and blended the traditions of both people over time. The Lenan Rouge actually has been growing in modern culture.
Oh, really?
In the year 2010, the March du Lenan Rouge parade made its debut, catapulting the infamous Red Dwarf into the spotlight of popular culture.
And this was in Detroit?
This is all in Detroit. The organizers of the parade would like you to believe that this tradition dated back 300 years in Detroit, but actually started first in 2010. It occurs on the Sunday following the vernal equinox. Its streets, Detroit's streets, would come alive with the celebration of liberation from the clutches of Lenan Rouge. As claimed on the event's website, this annual procession of March, or Fat Tuesday, is a testament to the resilience and strength of Detroiters throughout their history. The true origins of the march are well documented, a tale that begins with two law school students named Francis Grunow and Joe Uhl. The pair had dreamt up the concept of the march while studying at Wayne State University. The two had been chatting and they spoke of the uncanny resemblance between New Orleans and Detroit, who are both rooted in French heritage and were both very influenced by French culture. Yet there is one major difference: Mardi Gras. They envisioned a similar cathartic experience for Detroit through its own troubled times. So they decided to have a parade in which people dressed in elaborate disguises and concealed their identities from Lenan Rouge, who ruled over the city with an iron fist. This parade would symbolically drive out the tyrannical Red Dwarf and usher in a new season of hope and transformation for the people. In fact, the Red Dwarf was seen on several parades riding a giant cockroach, signifying his desire to defeat the people of Detroit.
That's gross. Right. Charge! My giant cockroach!
Well, to the absolute...
Never say die! It's not just Goonies, it's cockroaches.
To the absolute shock and awe of the organizers, hundreds upon hundreds of people arrived for the first year's event. And as word spread throughout the country, even more people flocked to this event in every year, coming in thousands. Their excitement and curiosity is piqued by the unique traditions and spectacles that await them. So what do you think of Lenan Rouge?
That's a good story. A little leprechaun running around America.
So instead of being green for Ireland, he's red for France?
Yeah. So he's like... what word am I looking for?
I don't know.
What Mothman is. What's he?
I was wondering.
Harbinger of Doom.
I was wondering if you were going to make the connection with Mothman, because the legend of Mothman is that, yes, he showed up and for 13 months, many people saw him. And many people claimed that they saw him on the Silver Bridge right before it collapsed.
But then also he's seen as a good luck charm to some people.
Well, as a warning. Not good luck, because you have to recognize that you're in danger. Same with Le Nain Rouge.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Well, yeah. For Le Nain Rouge, if you're nice to him, he protects you.
Okay.
If you hit him with a cane, he destroys your future.
Well, you know, hey, same as any woman.
Okay. Well, that's an important rule to remember.
Yeah, I guess so.
Le Nain Rouge is an interesting predicament now amongst the people of Detroit. There are many who are starting to support his presence as a harbinger of danger, a warning for people to change their ways or face the consequences. Even now, there are those who protest the parade and are in support of Le Nain Rouge. With signs, yeah, they hold up signs that say support for the short or or stop name shaming. The signs are hilarious, and they are actually growing, and more people are joining in.
How old are these people holding the signs?
They are adults. In fact,
are they adults or are they young adults?
No, they are actually mature adults, and actually people in the supernatural community.
Oh, well, shoot.
Who have done their own research, and they agree that Le Nain Rouge isn't a cause, he's a warning. Cool. And he should be the spirit of Detroit to fight against these problems.
Yeah. Maybe they'd get clean water.
That would be nice. But before we end this episode, I want to remind you that we are active on social media and would be thrilled to hear your opinion of whether the Le Nain Rouge is bad or good. Don't hesitate to share your stories and opinions with us. You can reach us on Facebook within the Miss Podcast. We are also on Instagram and have an email at withinthemistpodcast@gmail.com for any of you who would like to share. We hope you enjoyed our stories about Le Nain Rouge. Come back next week for more cryptids, ghosts, and other mysteries. And in the meantime, watch the city streets for a little red man grinning maniacally and remain constantly curious. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, guys.